Today, we'd like to see the title of Faithful Love in the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verses 1 to 12. To online worthy people on the earth, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 1, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt, I called my son. What divine character can we see the phrase of I loved him? What the phrase of out of Egypt I called my son as a prophecy will be fulfilled in the New Testament time? And what commentary on the Bible is best? Question 2, in verse 3, I told to Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. What does it mean? And what points can we observe and respond to the points in our life? Last question 3 in verse 10. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion when he roars. Then his sons shall come trembling from the west. When will it occur? And list relevant verses of the Bible. And how can we do if we are bound in something else, such as a sinful practice, self-understanding, power, money, or glory? First of all, we want to see backgrounds in this way you might study the book of Hosea, entire book. Hosea chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. So basically, Hosea the prophet prophesied to northern kingdom, Israel. In Judah, Uzziah, called as Azariah, ninth good king, then Jotham, tenth good king, Ahaz, 11th king. Not good king. Then 12th good king Hezekiah. In Israel, northern part, all of them bad king. Bad king, which means commit spiritual adultery, worship idols, then lead their people to worship idols as well. That is a bad king. Good king means the king led the people to worship God. Jeroboam the second, 13th king, then Zechariah, Shalom, Menahem, Pekahiah, Pekah, and Hosea, the last king. So six kings were changed while Hosea prophesied to northern kingdom Israel people. That time, southern kingdom, Isaiah, prophesied to southern kingdom. After the death of Solomon in 931 before Christ, Israel was divided with Israel, ruled by Jeroboam, found in north, and Judah, ruled by Rehoboam, Solomon's son, in south. Before, Israel was carried captivity by Assyria, in 722 before Christ, Hosea prophesied to Israel during 760 up to 720 before Christ. That time, Isaiah prophesied to Judah in southern kingdom. First one, when Israel was a child, I loved him. I loved him. God said, I loved him. Because Hosea delivered God's word to Israel people, Hosea just the instrument
So actually God's word. So God said, I loved him. It showed a loving fellowship between Israel and God. And out of Egypt, I called my son. Here indicates Exodus from Egypt. Then this one considered as a prophecy fulfilled through Jesus' Exodus from Egypt by Matthew, his disciple. Matthew chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they, meaning wise men, should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, when they had, wise men had departed, behold, look, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child, who is Jesus, and his mother, Mary, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek to the young child to destroy him. So young child, 2 years older or younger, so actually Herod killed all of them in order to kill Jesus. Jesus, that time age, 1 year old, a little more like that. When he arose, he took Joseph. Joseph took a young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. So maybe until teenage or 12 years, then his Jesus' family went to Nazareth, Galilee area, not in, turned back to Bethlehem, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. So here, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. Why? Because every teacher to make his children understand is the Holy Spirit through teaching ministries. So therefore, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible per se. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, but the anointing, Holy Spirit, which you have received from God, abides in you. Every born-again Christian, the anointing Spirit lives in every born-again Christian. You do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So human being, just instrument. So human being, author, inspired by God, all scripture, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good works. Therefore, Bible itself is best commentary on the Bible. Why? Because the Bible inspired by God. Verse 2, as they called them, here plural, Israelite people, called the Israelite people themselves. So they went from them. So Israelite people went from Israelite people themselves. They sacrificed to the Baals or Baalim. Baals is the idol god of knowledge. So they sacrificed to the Baals and burned incense to cover the images. What a spiritual adultery to Israelites. Then verse 3, I taught Ephraim to worry. Ephraim, the second son of Joseph, but he was the leading tribe of northern
kingdom Israel. That's why Ephraim, the representative of the Israel, to walk, taking them by their arms. So description of God's faithful love about how to teach Israelites by holding their arms, not to fall, but to walk by themselves. But they did not know that I healed them. There are no recognition of God's faithful love, even if they were healed by God. Number two, there are no thankfulness to God, even if they have circumstantial knowledge, recognition, observation. For example, we often do not recognize God's love, mercy, or grace. Rather than, luckily or fortunately, just a coincidence for any delivery from any problems, such as illness, car accident, or getting a job. Nor thankfulness to whoever contributors for any benefits, and ultimately to our God, like the conduct of orchestra. Because in the last day, disciple Paul, inspired by God, said, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, but know this, that in the last days which meaning close to Jesus coming soon in heaven again, here great tribulation will come soon. Perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, by themselves, selfishness, lovers of money, lovers of boast, pride, proud, blasphemers. There is a bad word against God. Disobedient to parents, then unthankful right there in the last day, and unholy. So that is, first of all, I drew them with gentle cords, tighten it around the waist of a child, and pull or slack it not to fall, but to walk by themselves. Also description of God's faithful love to Israel people, continual love, consistent love. The gentle course to teach him to walk is a simile of bands of love, bands of love. God's love to Israelites, describe it. And I was to them, Israel people, as those who take the yoke from their neck. King James Version, their jaws, here, neck. So it describes God's faithful love, compelling love, or constraining love. God's faithful love compels or constrains us to minister as to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, 15. For the love of Christ compels us or constrains us. So all ministers should have a motive for compelling love. Jesus ransomed love for us. That is starting motivation. Compels us because we judge this. And if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. No longer for themselves. Not for selfishness. But for God, for him, Jesus Christ, who died for them and rose again. Also, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, God's love described as everlasting love. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love, forever love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. God's nature. God is love. Then I stopped. I stooped and fed them. Still description of God's faithful love. Verse 5. He shall not return to the land of Egypt. He, Israel. Israel must not return to Egypt for the help to fight against Assyria, the invader, based upon the counsel of man. Verse 6 said, because of their own counsels rather than the counsel of God, which means they didn't ask to God, they didn't pray to God. So they, but Assyrians shall be his king, because they refused to repent and return. So Hosea to ask northern Israel people, repent your sin and return to God. Double up, repent and return to God. Israel survived 109 years from 931 before Christ up to 722 before Christ and fell by Assyria. Judah survived 136 years longer than Israel and fell in 586 before Christ by Babylon. How come? Because the deaths of Hezekiah, Manasseh, extremely evil king, he followed all evil track of northern kingdom Israel. Manasseh, historically, he killed Isaiah with Saul. They refused to repent. That means they had a hardened heart to repent, stubborn heart. God wants us to repent and return to God. Verse 6, the sword shall slice in his cities. So cut off the cities, citizens, devour his district, and consume them, you know, burn them, because of their own counsel, not ask God by prayer. Verse 7, my people, Israel people, are bent on backsliding from me, from God. Do they call to the Most High, who is faithful? None at all exalt him. Although they called to God, nobody glorifies God. That is a lip service. It shows lamenting God to unrepentant souls. Like Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jesus also lamenting compassion. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. So that is the same kind of lamenting feeling. Verse 8, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over to invade Assyrian Israel? How can I make you like Adamah? How can I set you like Zeboim? Those cities, the neighboring cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, destroyed for sin by fire and limestone. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 23. The whole land is a brimstone, salt, and burning. It is not sown, nor does it bear fruit, nor does any grass grow there. Like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adamah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his wrath. Basically, their homosexual activity sin described, and Lord lived there, yeah? Sodom and Gomorrah. So, My heart churns within me. Churns meaning stirs within me. So God's heart stirs. Or a yearning for the Israelite. My sympathy is stirred. It shows God's faithful love. He is slow in judgment. Verse 9. I will not eject the fierceness of my anger. God is slow in judgment. I will not again destroy Ephraim. Because I am God, not man. Which means God keeps his word faithfully. Whatever he pleases, he can do it. Nothing is impossible, unlike a human being. Sometimes we, although we wanted to keep our word, but we are not able to because of our weakness, we have inability. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. I will not come with terror. I will not destroy utterly. So later, the faithful remnant shall return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Later. So that time is Assyria conquered by Babylon. Babylon conquered by Persia. So Persia King Cyrus allowed the Israel people, if you want, go back to your homeland, Jerusalem, you may rebuild the temple. Also, Cyrus provided treasure and soldier as well. So, that kind of. Verse 10. This 10 and 11, the future. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. So Jesus Christ will roar like a lion voice. When he roars, then his sons, his children, shall come trembling from the west. Here, for the future, the second coming, the Lord on the earth, in order to establish the millennium kingdom, Revelation chapter 19, second part, and chapter 20, first part, talking about that. The Israelites, through the great tribulation, shall follow the Lord. So Revelation chapter 7, so God has a special plan to protect or to seal Israel people from Satan's or Antichrist attack. So that is each tribe 120 times 12, 144,000 Israel people got sealed by God from Antichrist killing or martyring and so on. So he will roar like a lion. The Lord shall speak like a lion in Armageddon battle. So is Ethiopia and Egypt coming, a certain group coming there. The other group is China and Russia together. Then is Western Europe coming. All meet, like World War III or World War IV, Megiddo, that's called Armageddon, the battle occurs there. So that time Jesus takes a white horse coming down and see people stop their work. Otherwise, all people would be killed. So Isaiah chapter 31, verse 4 said, for thus the Lord has spoken to me, as a lion roars and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against him, against the lion. But he, the lion, will not be afraid of their voice, except for the voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. Shepherds are here indicating a lot of kings. So the Lord of hosts will come down to fight for Mount Zion and for Israel. Also, another similar example, a lion's roar, a mighty angel, Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 to 3. Apostle John saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea, and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. This is a mighty angel. It's not Jesus, but he also indicating lion roars as well. Also trembling from the west. That is is from the West Europe thinking. Joel chapter verse 16. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, tremble, but the Lord will be a shield for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So the Lord, you know, specially sealed the Israel people, you know, from Armageddon battle as well. Verse 11, they shall come trembling. So all people shaking, trembling, like a bird from Egypt, like a dove from the land of Assyria. So Egyptians tremble, Assyrians tremble, and I will let them dwell in their house. But God sealed 144,000 Israel people from Satan's muttering. Verse 12, Ephraim has encircled, Ephraim, the representative of Israel, has encircled me with liars, and the house of Israel with deceit, which means all bad leaders, bad kings, either worshippers or spiritual adulterers to mislead the people therein in the spiritual adultery as well. But Judah still walks with God, some good kings who live with God, to lead the people to the soul. Then Hezekiah reigned, but after his death, Manasseh, the evil king, followed the same way of Israel to worship idols, resulting in the fall by Babylon 136 years later. The Holy One who is faithful. So our Lord is faithful. All are unrighteousness. No even one righteous. All sinners, so repent. Whatever sin or whatever position, whatever bounds, and turn to God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. I am reading three verses in conclusion. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, even every Christian. How come? Because no matter what situation, we still fall short of God's glory, perfect, until seeing the Lord Jesus Christ by death or by rapture. That moment, we are exactly just as the Jesus Christ. They call glorification. So sanctification process, even if you are so much righteous, but still not enough, to the perfect, the Jesus image, God's standard of holiness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. God bless you richly. Let's sing some more together. The bulletin.